Well, can I once again just say how pleased Florence and I are to be with you here in Downpatrick. And we trust that we can get the opportunity maybe at the end of the service to speak to some of you. And I'm sure there must be some that I will have some connection with somehow. And I want to convey thanks to Owen for his welcome, and we do appreciate Owen. I've known Owen now for a little while. I remember him at college when he was training there. I knew, of course, his father before I met Owen, and I recognize that the passion he has for the ministry and for the gospel. I believe that he is a gifted evangelist and can be used by God amongst you here in Downpatrick. And I trust he and his family will know continuing blessing, as you will too, under his ministry. The theme continues to be displayed there on the screen, Everyday Disciples. And that is the theme that we are trying to convey as I move around churches during this year. The theme follows that of the special assembly that the church had just about, almost 2 months ago now. And at that assembly, I produced this little booklet in preparation for the assembly. It's a 31-day devotional booklet, and it's answering the question, what does it mean to be everyday disciples? I invited some of my friends, some who have ministered to us in Hollywood, others that I have worked with in various capacities, to contribute to this little booklet. So there are 31 days of some thoughts, prayer, and Bible reading there. And I am giving these out, if anyone would like one afterwards, for those who read their Bible regularly, for those who maybe have not been as regular, or those maybe who have never actually committed themselves to a time of prayer and Bible reading each day. It may encourage you in that regard. And so I'll have these at the end of the service. If anyone wishes to take one, please ask me for them. And then following the assembly too, may I just draw attention to one other thing that was produced. And this program known as Essentials, which is on the theme of the discipleship. There is a booklet with it and also a memory stick with the whole program contained on that. It's for small groups in the church or for individuals to follow. Small groups may wish to take up the themes of the various topics and discuss them together. And this is to help out in Bible study and to discuss the whole idea of being an everyday disciple. So there again, there may be some interest in that. There's so many aspects of how we as followers of Jesus Christ can be everyday disciples. Make a witness to those outside that we are followers of Jesus Christ. We can do that in our home, in the office, in the building site, the bank, the school staff room, a coffee shop, wherever we are, in the gym or wherever. We are being called to make our witness to Jesus Christ as followers of the Lord. We can make a mark, make an impression. A seed can be sown. The best evangelical witness we can make is where the skeptics are, because they are not going to enter our church buildings to hear about Jesus. The context of mission is where we are and where we rub shoulders with other people, many of them skeptics. We read from John's Gospel, chapter 1, and from verse 35. I would encourage you to turn that up in your Bible there in the pew, and I will be referring to the story that we had read. And we see in this story, Jesus is forming a college, so to speak, of students. the disciples. He is the rabbi, the teacher. And Jewish rabbis formed clusters of disciples around them as pupils whom they mentored and taught. And Christ was forming this, following this well-established form, he was then putting together his little cluster of disciples. They were entering in what we might refer to as the university form of education around him, and were signing up and joining the school of the Nazarene. And it seems to me, as we read the story of how the disciples got on board, that there was some excitement about following this Jesus, the Lamb of God. Andrew had been so bowled over by what he heard that he couldn't wait to find his brother Simon. He shared the best news, the good news. We have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. What a tremendous statement at the beginning of verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. What a wonderful commendation ascribed to anyone that a person brought someone else to Jesus. And this is the supreme missionary desire of the Christian, that we could bring someone to Jesus. There's a story told by Reverend Alex White of Edinburgh. And it's about a commercial traveller called Rigby. He was a quiet man. And like most of us, found it difficult to talk about his faith. And when in Edinburgh, he always attended St. George's Church. And when he was leaving his hotel, he always invited someone to come with him. One morning, the friend he asked to accompany him was quite angry. He had no intention of going to church. And he was angry at being invited. But he went with his anger. By the evening, the irate man came and asked Rigby to attend church with him. And that night, the visitor was so impressed by the preaching and the good news message that he heard that he committed himself to Jesus Christ. The next day, the traveller, Rigby, was passing the Reverend Mr. White's manse. And by some impulse, he called at the door and knocked. And he told the Reverend White about what had happened to his friend. White thanked him for the encouragement and asked him again, "What did you say your name was?" And he told him, "Rigby." And he said, "Well, you are the man that I have been looking for years." And he took him into his study, and there he showed him a pile of letters, a bundle of letters, that told the stories of how people had come to know Jesus as a result of Rigby inviting them to that church. Rigby, the traveller, had brought many to Jesus by what seemed a very insignificant invite to come with him to church. In this age of the 21st century, skepticism about anything associated with the church, it may seem naive to think that people will come to church with you. But that shouldn't extinguish our desire to bring someone to Jesus, to have a passion for the gospel, and to influence our friends, our work colleagues, and show them Christ. See, we see in verse 43, Philip also took up the invitation to follow Jesus, and he joined a trio of disciples and sought out another friend, Nathanael. And these men, including Nathanael, were devout Jews. They were committed to the law, the Torah. They read and learned large portions of the scriptures and the prophetic scriptures. And the trio were convinced the one whom the prophets wrote had been found. Or more accurately, in the promise of God, the Messiah had found them. And in verse 45, they had found the one Moses wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Verse 46 conveys what is one of the discouraging parts, I believe, of this story of grace. When you think about it, seriously, it is one of the depressing statements, and I think it's a frustrating sectarian reaction. Nazareth. Can anything good come from there? See, we see secondly in this story, Nathanael the skeptic, a prejudiced skeptic. Why was Nathanael so skeptical and so dismissal of Jesus? What was so bad about Nazareth? Well, Nazareth was an insignificant place, which had, according to most locals, very little of any kind of reputation. It occupied primarily the side of a hill and was established in the southern hills of the Lebanon range of mountains. And at the northern end was a fertile valley. The main town in the area was Sepphoris, which was the cultural center for the area. Nazareth had really no place in Israel's history, having never been mentioned in the Old Testament. Its only fame comes from the New Testament, where there's 27 references to Nazareth in the New Testament, and that mostly describing Jesus as being from Nazareth. Nathanael painted the residence, or possibly more likely it was the Jewish community that he saw, as being second-class citizens. Were they a hard-hearted Jewish people and easily angered? Remember, they were furious on one occasion with Jesus and drove him out of the town and threatened to throw him from a cliff. Whatever the reason, Nathanael was skeptical about anything to do with Nazareth. He had a particular bigoted view of Nazareth people, whether they were carpenters or artisans or leaders in the synagogue, even a rabbi. The reputation was negative. And this kind of skepticism and even intellectual snobbery isn't a first century phenomenon, but a sorry fact with every generation of humanity. Some people, certain nationalities, skeptic neighborhoods, have always looked down on other people as being on the wrong side of the tracks. Or applied to Northern Ireland to be on the other side of the fence. We find it in Northern Ireland where sectarianism or racism is just below the surface. Have you ever heard it said, or have you ever said, can anything good come out of Belfast? Or anything good come out of Hollywood? Or maybe even more local, can anything good ever come out of Crossgar? Can anything good be found in a mosque or a chapel of a particular denomination or a church of a specific denomination? Has this been said? The Presbyterian Church has a strong link with the minister, the Reverend Peter Gay, who tells about his people and Christians in the Presbyterian Church in South Sudan and how they have suffered. Owen alluded to the church in Myanmar, in a similar situation where Christians have suffered. Villages wiped out, communities and churches lost because of a sectarian, bitter persecution of people who were from their own community, where Christians have suffered. There are those in our society in the 21st century who hold a skeptical view of Christianity. Many people view Christianity just like Nathaniel viewed Nazareth. And when you claim to be a Christian, they will, well, roll their eyes. Behind your back, they will point the finger and snigger. I have spoken to people regularly who tell me, I've done this church thing. I grew up with it. I concluded in my teens that I want nothing more to do with it. I've made up my mind. And so Jesus, according to their position, is still from Nazareth. The skeptic today has concluded there is nothing that is any better in Christianity. And the challenge to us is that whatever we are, wherever we are, in our homes, in our schools, in our universities, in our hospitals, in our banks, in our streets, that we offer something that is good, and that is in the person of Christ. We can say, come and see. This skeptic, Nathaniel, we see thirdly here, was a persuaded disciple. How did Nathaniel's skepticism convert so quickly? Well, firstly, Jesus welcomed him and recognized his genuine Jewish devotion. There was nothing false about Nathaniel. Literally, the translation should be, there was no guile in him. A conversation starts, and Jesus said he saw him under a fig tree. Now, why was that included in that story? Why is that so significant? Possibly because the fig tree was very valuable in Israel. It was a precious tree. A valley of fig trees produced wealth. It was often grown amongst the vines to provide shelter. And we read that often the rabbis would sit under the fig tree with their disciples round them and teach from the Torah, from the scriptures. Was that why Nathanael was under the fig tree? He had been reading the scriptures. Nathanael's conversion was sudden. He amazingly received Jesus as the Son of God. Now, I'm not quite sure what went on intellectually for Nathanael to produce such a dramatic transformation. But it was experiencing Jesus in person and his warmth and love that moved him from skepticism to believing in the Christ. And Jesus alludes to the Jacob story we read here in verses 50 and 51. Alludes to this Jacob story of a vision. Remember the vision of heaven open and angels ascending and descending. Was this possibly the passage Nathanael had been reading? Now that is speculation. But Christ is alluding to himself here in this as the bridge. Christ, the incarnate Son of God, is the bridge between God and man. And we recognize the cross as the means by which, through Christ, the means through which we come to faith in Jesus. The cross is the bridge. Commentaries on this passage tell the story of Aldous Huxley. Now, he was an esteemed 19th century thinker philosopher and agnostic. He was on a weekend away with friends when on Sunday morning most of the guests had planned to go to church. Huxley, well, that wasn't his custom. He wasn't going, wasn't his habit, or certainly wasn't his intention to go to church. And Huxley spoke to one of these people, a man. He wasn't a well-educated man or prosperous. But the man had an impressive faith. And Huxley said to him, "Suppose you remain behind. Don't go to church. But you remain behind and tell me what your Christian faith means to you." Well, the man was set back at this request. He was a little hesitant, but he remained behind. And he said to Huxley, I can't do this. You could demolish my arguments in a minute. I'm not clever enough to argue with you. Well, Huxley said, look, I don't want to argue with you. You tell me. And the man stayed and spoke of his faith. And the brilliant agnostic, this man of intellect, with tears in his eyes, said, following the humble man's story, "I would give my right hand to believe what you believe." In these days of skepticism, the arguments are hard to win. But the personal witness, what we are, and how we share the gospel story can move skeptics to believers. Thank God that every day we are given opportunities to show Jesus in our lives. You know, skeptics, don't argue or despair, but be the witness that you can be and share the story that you have. Mahatma Gandhi, the great Indian revolutionary, was once asked by a missionary, "What must Christians do to win India for the Lord Jesus Christ?" And Gandhi's reply was this: "Firstly, let Christians live like Jesus Christ." Many of us here today will be traveling and working among non-Christian people this coming week. We will be rubbing shoulders with them. And I hope that you have friends who are not church-going people whom you can, like the trio of disciples in John 1 verse 35 and following, invite to come. And I will do my best to show you Jesus. That is our challenge and our commitment to Christ as everyday disciples and followers, to demonstrate and speak of Jesus. I have preached similar sermons to this over and over again to people who come to me afterwards and have admitted that they are a Nathaniel, struggle with doubts and skepticism. Can I bring you to Jesus today? If you are a skeptical, if you are doubting and questioning the truth of the good news of Jesus, can I bring you to Jesus today? To Christ, who died on that cross for you, took upon himself your sin, and died in your place, so that you who come and surrender your life to him, surrender through faith to him, may know the transformation that came about in Nathanael's life. Can I bring you today back to the Bible and to the reading of the scriptures? Can I bring you to true surrender to Christ and a new commitment to following Jesus every day as a disciple? Like Nathanael, discover the transforming life discipleship offers. Nathanael was persuaded, and he found something that was beyond his dreams in Nazareth. The skeptic can be persuaded by a faithful witness to Jesus. Let us pray. O gracious God, eternal Father, we praise you for your love and mercy, for your grace that is everlasting, that which is offered to us which we least deserve. Yet in your love and mercy, you keep offering us that grace. We praise you for the good news of the cross, where grace was demonstrated through Christ's death and resurrection for us and for our salvation. O Father, we pray that we may hear that call to come to Jesus. May your still small voice be whispering to us, calling us daily to be faithful followers of Christ. And Father, we pray that we may be disciples who will take our stand for Jesus, that we can be the disciples that you use in our community, wherever we may be in this Downpatrick community in this coming week. May we, through our life and witness, through our words, share the story of your grace in our lives, that where we meet a Nathanael, that he or she may come to know that Christ is their Savior. Father, hear this, our prayer, and help us to keep in step with your Spirit, that we may be truly faithful followers of the Lord, today and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.